Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in sports here on KJN. It's being brought to you by Insurance Services in Elkhorn.
Is insurance eating too much of your budget? Everybody seems to be watching their finances these days, and even if you're not, why spend more than what you need? Insurance Services in Elkhorn offers quality insurance products without sacrificing that hometown-friendly service. Stop by today for premium discounts from Farm Mutual Insurance, because not having insurance is like sitting on a time bomb. You never know when disaster is going to strike, so don't risk it. Insurance Services in Elkhorn offers protection against life's little surprises. The friendly staff is there to help you with all of your insurance needs. For an affordable program from Farm Mutual Insurance, see Insurance Services in Elkhorn. They have a policy of working together, and for them it's more than just a slogan, it's their business philosophy. By working together with customers, they can provide a balance of quality insurance as well as friendly service and competitive premiums. Stop by today for a quote with Farm Mutual Insurance for all of your needs. Insurance Services in Elkhorn.
And starting off, taking a look at notes here from the NFL draft, as viewership for the draft turned out to be high, as was anticipated here this year. Household football fans gave the NFL a huge boost. The first night of this week's NFL draft averaged 15.6 million viewers on television, easily shattering the record set 6 years ago. The first round was aired on ABC, ESPN, and the NFL Network, as well as ESPN Deportes. Viewership peaked from 8:45 to 9 Eastern when 19.6 million people tuned in. According to Nielsen, that's up 37% over last year's 11.4 million. The previous high was 12.4 million in 2014 when the draft was held in early May. The draft was the first live U.S. sporting event since the virus pandemic and originally was to be held in Las Vegas but is taking place virtually. The draft resumed with second and third round selections yesterday and will finish up now here today. After having a record 15 of the 32 players in the first round of the draft come from the SEC, another 10 came off the board in round two. Seven more wide receivers went in the second round, one more than in day one. The wideouts included Florida's Van Jefferson to the Rams and Baylor's Denzel Mims to the Jets. With 13 receivers taken in the first two rounds, it breaks the record of 12 set in 2014. Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts was selected in the second round with the 53rd overall pick. He was the fifth QB selected in the draft and the first in the second round. Round two was a running back round with five high-profile players coming off the board. Green Bay used a second-round pick on running back A.J. Dillon, taking the Boston College workhorse with the 62nd overall selection. A couple of Iowa Hawkeyes came off the board yesterday as well as the Buffalo Bills addressed their defensive pass rush and offensive rushing needs with their first two picks. Buffalo opened by selecting Iowa defensive end A.J. Epinesa, who led the Big Ten in 10.5 sacks as a junior last season with the 54th pick. He was previously projected to be a possible first-round selection but slid all the way to that spot. The Bills then followed up by choosing Utah running back Zach Moss at number 86. Barring trades, Buffalo had five picks remaining over the final four rounds on Saturday, with their next coming at number 128. The Denver Broncos general manager John Elway is building around second-year quarterback Drew Locke in the NFL draft. Elway spent his first and second-round selections on two terrific targets in Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy and Penn State speedster K.J. Hamler. In the third round, Elway added some protection up front for Locke and LSU center Lloyd Cushenberry. His selection was sandwiched around two other third-rounders in Iowa cornerback Michael Ojemudia and Arkansas defensive tackle McKelvin Ajeem. The Broncos have five more picks on Saturday. Ojemudia will help fill the void left by the departure of Chris Harris Jr. to the Chargers this offseason, and Ajeem solidifies a refurbished defensive line that includes a trade acquisition Jarrell Casey. John Elway pledged to give Drew Locke more weapons and better protection in a draft teaming with wide receivers and offensive linemen. He delivered. The Broncos GM provided Locke with those two terrific targets and added that athletic center through the first two nights of the draft. And Hamler was selected with the 46th pick in the second round on Friday night, 24 hours after using their 15th overall pick on Alabama standout Jerry Jeudy, the highest Denver has ever selected a wide receiver in the common draft era. In the third round, Elway added, once again, that protection up front. Ojemudia said facing the likes of Jeudy, Hamler, Cortland Sutton, and tight end Noah Fant in his first training camp will microwave his NFL education. He said, "I mean, that's going to be big. It's going to be harder than the game sometimes." In other NFL notes, the L.A. Rams announced the signings of linebacker Leonard Floyd and defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson on Friday after quarterback Jared Goff restructured his contract to create salary cap room. Floyd and Robinson agreed to join the Rams as free agents several weeks ago, but the announcements of their deals were delayed because they hadn't been able to complete their physical exams because of the pandemic. Goff agreed last year to a four-year contract extension with an NFL record $110 million guaranteed. The extension doesn't begin until the 2021 season, but Goff agreed to restructure the deal's money distribution to create breathing room for the Rams. The Texans have agreed to a three-year, $66 million contract extension with left tackle Laremy Tunsil, according to a person familiar with that situation. He had 1 year left on his current contract that will pay him more than $10 million this year. Tunsil was named to his first Pro Bowl last season after being acquired from Miami in August. Patriots center David Andrews says he's ready to return after missing all of last season with blood clots in his lungs. He says he's excited to have the opportunity to play again whenever and however the NFL season begins. Andrews has played four seasons for New England. In 2018, he started every game and participated in 99% of the offensive snaps. Tua Tagovailoa knows now where he'll play next, but he still doesn't know when. The Dolphins selected him with the fifth overall pick in Thursday's draft and are willing to wait until 2021 while Tagovailoa continues to recover from a major hip injury. And he says doctors have indicated that he's on schedule for a return this year. General Manager Chris Greer said the Dolphins are comfortable about Tagovailoa's health despite a long injury history. The older brother of Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott has died. Jace Prescott was 31 years old. The Cowboys confirmed the older Prescott's death yesterday in a brief statement. There was no information on how or where he died. Jace Prescott was an offensive lineman a decade ago at Northwestern State, where he played 3 years and started all 11 games in his final season. This should have been the first full day of action in the stadium at the Drake Relays, but instead, Drake Stadium sits empty. The meet was postponed last month due to the coronavirus pandemic. Relays director Blake Bolden says it's an emotional week, even though it was the right call to postpone.
Even now, while emotionally it's challenging to be in my home working remotely and not in Drake Stadium with 15,000 people and the world's best athletes and the best high school athletes in the state of Iowa, but ultimately, it's not that hard because we know it's not more important than the safety of everybody involved.
The pandemic has shut down track and field across the globe.
It's not easy, but there is comfort in knowing that we're all in the same storm and that we're all facing this together.
The loss of the track season brings back memories to former track standout Randy Wilson. The Knoxville native was an NCAA champion at Oklahoma and made the 1980 U.S. Olympic squad in the 800 meters. He never got a chance to fulfill his Olympic dream because of the United States boycott of the Moscow Olympics. These days, Wilson is an elementary school teacher and a track coach at Pella High School.
Oh, I've moved on for sure. But every 4 years, you kind of scratch your head and you wonder what might have been. But a lot of great memories from my running and racing career, and now I get to coach, and we've lost that season. I coach high school track at Pella, and we were really looking forward to this season.
The 1980 Olympic team turned out to be the only one Wilson qualified for.
I honestly still raced and competed kind of on a limited basis until I did qualify for the 84 trials, but did not make the Olympic team. And that's when the Olympics were in Los Angeles.
Wilson's career ended shortly after 1984.
I think I ran a couple races in 85. It was while I was coaching at Drake. I coached the distance runners up there for just a couple years and ran my lifetime best in the 800 in 1985. So I was always kind of proud of that.
And the NCAA is giving teams new scheduling options for the 2020-21 season in college hoops. The Division I Council has approved a proposal to give men's basketball programs choices with 28 and 29 game schedules. The council vote still must be reviewed by the NCAA Board of Directors and won't be considered final until the conclusion of its board meeting on Wednesday. The proposal would allow schools that schedule 28 regular season games to participate in one multiple team event up to three games. Programs with 29 game regular season schedules can participate in a multi team event with up to two games. A team that does not participate in a multiple team event can have up to 29 regular season contests. That's a look at the latest in sports here on KJAN. Sports brought to you this morning by Insurance Services in Elkhorn. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN Sports.